Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the $2 billion fine the Justice Department settled for with the international British bank HSBC for money laundering and other charges. Russell McIver, the editor of the Corporate Crime Reporter, joins us to discuss the double standard in American justice, where ordinary citizens can go to jail for petty offences, but Wall Street criminals get off with fines because their banks are too big to indict. Then we'll look into the increasingly bitter civil war between Republican power brokers and opinion makers with Jacob Halbrun, a senior editor at The National Interest, where he has an article, Does the GOP Need a New William F. Buckley Jr.? We will discuss the bind that Speaker Boehner is in, caught between the warring factions of the moderates and the pragmatists on one side who want to make a deal, and the Tea Party radicals who want to bring down the government. Then finally, we'll examine the new global forecast by the National Intelligence Council on what the world will look like in 2030. We will focus on the Global Trends 2030 report's warning of 15 countries with a high risk of state failure, in particular Pakistan, and the possibility of a nuclear showdown between Pakistan and India. Michael Crapon, the founder and president emeritus of the Henry L. Stimson Center, who specializes in South Asia and arms control, joins us. And joining us now is Russell McIver, who is the editor of Corporate Crime Reporter. His books include Corporate Crime and Violence, Big Business Power and the Abuse of the Public Trust, Corporate Predators, The Hunt for Mega Profits and the Attack on Democracy, and On the Rampage, Corporate Predators and the Destruction of Democracy. And obviously this settlement that's just taken place with the Justice Department and the British bank HSBC to pay $1.92 billion for money laundering and other crimes, other banking crimes. Most of the coverage suggesting this is a record fine and somewhat self-congratulatory. But I take it you think that this is actually missing the point, that this is all about not only are banks too big to fail, but they're too big to indict.
Well, the deeper point is there's a double standard of justice in our criminal justice system. So for living, breathing human beings, if you commit a crime, you're forced to plead guilty and face the consequences. For major corporations, not just big banks, if you commit a crime, you get these deferred and non-prosecution agreements. And this is becoming a major issue in the criminal justice arena. In fact, we're holding a conference on deferred and non-prosecution agreements in the spring of 2013, where we're going to bring together prosecutors and defense attorneys to talk about this. But basically, what happened, and I don't know if you remember the Arthur Anderson prosecution many years ago, where this was Enron's accountant was criminally charged with wrongdoing, and the company was put out of business. Now, arguably, it was put out of business because they were Enron's accountant. Who would hire an accounting firm, even if it was a Big Four accounting firm or a Big Five accounting firm, if they're known as Enron's accountant? So that itself probably sank the company. But it was used by the corporate crime defense bar to say, hey, never again will we allow the Justice Department to criminally prosecute a vulnerable major company. And in fact, the practice since then has been to use these deferred non-prosecution agreements to settle. And the companies obviously love it because they can admit wrongdoing but not plead guilty. And in fact, the reality is that the public loses a lot of deterrence. Because it's important to be able to say, this is a corporate criminal. You've engaged in wrongdoing and you've pled guilty. And that sends a strong message to the marketplace that if you engage in wrongdoing, you will be held accountable. Now, the companies know that they can blatantly engage in criminal wrongdoing and get one of these deals where they appoint a monitor and they pay a fine, but they're allowed to pretty much conduct business as usual.
So no perp walk, Russell McIver, but the New York Times is reporting that the state and federal authorities decided against indicting HSBC in this money laundering case over concerns that criminal charges would jeopardize one of the world's largest banks and destabilize the global financial system. So again, you're back to this too big to fail mentality on the part of the government.
Well, there's a couple issues here. One is, should banks be this big so that if something happens to them, they take down the economy with them? Obviously, the answer to that is no. And there was legislation proposed that actually got something like 40 votes in the U.S. Senate 4 or 5 years ago that would have busted up the banks so that there would be no too-big-to-fail banks. That's one issue. But the second issue is, even if you're a too-big-to-fail bank or a very large corporation, can you plead guilty and survive? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. We put out reports over the last 20 years documenting literally hundreds of major corporations that have pled guilty and that are still around, still listed on the New York Stock Exchange, still doing business and still making fabulous amounts of money. But they're known as corporate criminals for their criminal wrongdoing. And this is actually a victory. The rise of deferred non-prosecution agreements as the way of settling these cases is a victory for the corporate crime defense bar, or the corporate crime lobby, whatever you want to call it, because they've stripped from the government this very powerful tool to deter wrongdoing and to make make ours a better society. So the conference that we're going to hold is going to discuss these issues, and many of us will be making the argument that we have to bring back the corporate criminal plea agreement. And in cases like this, where the company is admitting to criminal wrongdoing, force them to plead guilty. Now, there were prosecutors at the Justice Department who were making this argument, according to press reports, and they got overruled by the Obama administration, which, last I checked, it's been 4 years since the financial crisis, and still not one major Wall Street executive or one major Wall Street firm has been criminally prosecuted. So this is a political calculation. This is a political calculation that we are not going to criminally prosecute corporate criminals. We're going to keep individuals criminally prosecuted and throw them in prison to a degree unheard of in the Western world. But for major corporations, they get these special deals.
Again, I'm speaking with Russell McIver, who is the editor of the Corporate Crime Reporter. His books include Corporate Crime and Violence, Big Business and the Abuse of Public Trust, Corporate Predators, The Hunt for Mega Profits and the Attack on Democracy, and On the Rampage, Corporate Predators and the Destruction of Democracy. But this HSBC bank here in the United States, it's obviously a global bank in England and Hong Kong and around the world. Specifically, they were laundering money for the Mexico Sinaloa cartel and Colombia's Norte de Valle cartel, about $900 million apparently in the case of the Mexican bank. That's not small change. Also, I remember from the initial hearings that were in the Congress about this bank, there was this feckless fellow from the bank explaining what they did, they were up to, and admitting, for example, that they were only too happy to launder money for the Iranians. And last time I checked, the United States has a pretty hostile stance against the government of Iran. So you think that, you know, on the national security level, somebody would have weighed in on the Obama administration, and not to just wrap these guys on the knuckles.
Well, you would think, except that money and power trump justice in Washington. I just came back from the White House press briefing and didn't get a chance to ask my question, but the question I wanted to ask was about a guy named Lloyd Blankfein, who is the CEO of Goldman Sachs, and the president invited Mr. Blankfein to the White House a couple weeks ago to get his advice on how to better the economy, I guess. And as you'll remember, Ian, the same senator, Senator Levin, who held hearings on HSBC, held hearings on Goldman Sachs, and you know, Senator Levin accused Mr. Blankfein and Goldman Sachs of misleading investors in the run-up to the financial crisis. And then when they brought him up to Capitol Hill, misleading the Congress about what happened. And Levin was so upset by this that he referred the whole case over to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution, both for what he called the immorality and deception of Goldman Sachs in the run-up to the financial crisis, but also in the testimony before Congress. Unfortunately, the Justice Department is controlled by former white-collar and corporate criminal defense lawyers who are going back to those firms through the gilded revolving door when this administration ends or when they choose to leave. And the result has been that given all the fraud that was involved in the financial crisis, we have not seen any criminal prosecution of a major Wall Street executive or firm. And there's Mr. Blankfein being invited to the White House after his case was referred to the Justice Department. So there's no shame. The American people are not holding these corporate criminals accountable. And for the most part, good progressive liberals are pretty happy to look the other way, just as long as they get a ticket to the Obama inauguration. And
which corporations are going to be underwriting this?
President Obama, now that he's elected, has changed his mind and said, "Yeah, let's take money for some of these banks to finance the inauguration." So it's a vicious circle. I don't know exactly how it's going to stop. I think the only way is going to be, as usual, grassroots movement and a movement away from the two corrupt political parties towards some kind of justice party that will say, we're not going to take it, if our relatives get caught with, minor amounts of drugs and we get thrown in jail for significant amounts of times. Well, these guys tank the economy and they get invited to a meeting with the president.
And Ratha Makaiba, I recall Senator Levin's hearings where he had executives from Goldman Sachs testifying, and he kept referring to internal memos where they were talking amongst themselves about deals that they were offering their own customers. And he repeated many times quoting these internal memos about these deals. I can't say the word on the air because we'll get fined by the FCC. But he kept repeating this over and over again in a public hearing, and it really did get a lot of attention. You recall those?
I do recall, and yeah. I do recall Senator Levin referring the case, not just the case of the fraud upon the public in the run-up to the financial crisis, but Senator Levin believes that he was misled by the Goldman Sachs executives during that testimony. And so he wanted the Justice Department to bring a criminal prosecution, which they refused to do. So, yes, and then, of course, the president inviting these people to the White House. So, this is a pattern that's deeply entrenched within the Justice Department, and I'm hoping that if Eric Holder, the Attorney General, leaves to go back to his corporate law firm, Covington & Burling, that the president will see the light and appoint a prosecutor who will start taking some of these cases seriously. And there are prosecutors within the Justice Department who want to do this. To bring criminal charges, to secure guilty pleas, to throw executives in jail. But they're being blocked by the political operatives in the White House.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Russell McIver, the editor of the Corporate Crime Reporter. We're talking about the settlement with the Justice Department announced today in a press conference at the Federal Courthouse in Brooklyn, where HSBC, the British International Bank, has agreed to pay $1.92 billion in fines for money laundering and other violations of banking laws. At this press conference in Brooklyn, the Department of Justice criminal chief, Lenny Brewer, said, in trying to reach a result that's fair and just and powerful, you also have to look at the collateral consequences. There you have this notion that we couldn't really do anything in the way that would be just and fair to these criminal bankers because it might upset and destabilize the global financial system. I guess that's what he's implying. But I recall, I don't know whether you saw some time back, Russell, that 60 Minutes did a piece on the 2008 crash and asked the question, why is it the Justice Department hasn't indicted anybody for these crimes that took the entire global economy to the brink and have resulted in all of the economic pain that we're still suffering from, that all these clowns on Capitol Hill are grandstanding over with the fiscal cliff. And they also interviewed in the 60 Minutes piece this woman out here at the Angelo Mozilla's operation, Countrywide Savings, that Bank of America brought. Mm-hmm. And she was a compliance officer inside of Countrywide. And she saw all the criminality. She literally knew all the bodies were buried. She had all the documentation and everything. She was trying to get the Justice Department's attention. They weren't interested. And at the same time, Lenny Brewer saying, oh, yeah, we're going to really, it's true we haven't gotten anybody yet, but we're working on it. We're working on it, you know? Well, I'm still holding my breath.
Yeah, that was Eileen Foster, and we interviewed her earlier this year. It's interesting. There is something fishy about this settlement because I totally understand the problem of tanking a major bank, a bank that's too big to fail. It's a real issue. And if they had gone guns a-blazing and sought money laundering indictments, they might have tanked the bank. But there's a kind of practice in the white collar field where you don't have to ask for the death penalty. You don't have to secure the death penalty. You can get criminal pleas to lesser offenses like Bank Secrecy Act offenses and so forth. So at least that there's a guilty plea on the book. So the question for Lanny Brewer is, why not a guilty plea to like a Bank Secrecy Act violation? That's what some of the prosecutors were arguing for. And, there was basically the PR of the corporate crime lobby is you can't get guilty pleas against major financial institutions or it will mean the death penalty. They will go the way of Arthur Andersen. And the reality is that hundreds of banks and financial institutions and major corporations have pled guilty over the years, and they're still doing business. They're still on the New York Stock Exchange. They're still doing well. It's an argument that doesn't hold water and that we have to move beyond. And I think that increasingly, like, for example, we interviewed David Altman, who's the former head of the Environmental Crimes Unit at the Justice Department. And his policy while he was there, and I think it's still the policy of the Environmental Crimes Unit, that is if a company engaged in criminal wrongdoing, they will get a guilty plea, no matter who they are. I think you saw that in the BP case. There were multiple felony guilty pleas. And so now BP is known as a corporate criminal, and we can say it, and we can say it loudly, and we can shame them, and people can make choices based on that. But BP's not going anywhere. BP's around here to stay. They're just known for the crimes that they've committed in the Gulf. And there is really something fishy about this settlement. It would not have tanked the bank if they pled guilty to some of these crimes. And I'd like to get to the bottom of what happened here, why there was no criminal prosecution.
And just in terms of what you just said, Russell McIver, the HSBC shares closed up 0.56% on the London Exchange.
That's the thing about these criminal prosecutions. It's the shares are depressed while the prosecutors are doing the investigation. But the market understands that this is a good deal for HSBC given the alternatives. And so, the market is celebrating this deferred prosecution agreement.
Well, it sure looks like somebody at the highest level has decided that Wall Street's going to go unpunished, and that appears to be the unstated policy here. And
I think it's President Obama who's decided it. And not only has he decided that they're not going to be criminally prosecuted, but he's inviting them all in for tea and cookies at the White House. And Lloyd Blankfein was there a couple weeks ago.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Russell McIver.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Russell McIver, who's the editor of The Corporate Crime Reporter. His books include Corporate Crime and Violence, Big Business Power and the Abuse of Public Trust, Corporate Predators, The Hunt for Mega Profits and the Attack on Democracy, and On the Rampage, Corporate Predators and the Destruction of Democracy. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the increasingly bitter civil war among Republican power brokers and opinion makers.
I'll get ready to call, just like Humpty Dumpty. I'm going to fall, and I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, yes, rolling along. Don't want any million, I'm getting my share. I've only got one suit, just one, that's all I can wear. A bundle of money.